Good morning. We are glad that you're here this morning on this second Sunday that we have made our move here to St. Paul Church and getting used to our new facilities and our new worship. And in fact, everything is new. The playground's new, Sunday school classes, offices, the whole shebang. So at any rate, we are glad you're here. Now, I wanted to say something last week to remind you that your pastor does not spit. So if somebody wants to sit in these first two pews besides Jack, it's safe. It's very safe. And also to let you know, we have Bibles and hymnals on this exit to my right, your left, an entrance. So you can come in that direction as well. You do not have to go all the way around to the rear end of the building to enter the building. So feel free to come inside of the building any which way that you can, whatever's easier for you, especially those who are handicapped or have any type of physical disabilities. Please enter from this side over here, and you'll think you'll find life a whole lot more convenient and comfortable. Inside of your bulletin, you'll find the visitor slip, little tan insert, and if you would fill that out and place it in the offering plate at the time of the offertory, we'd be glad to have a record of your visit. If you've joined us today for the first time, or perhaps you've come again to Seminole Church and been away for a while, we'd like to have any updated contact information that you have and put that on our record. There's also a place for prayer requests on the back, so if you'll flip that over and jot those down and once again place it in the offering plate at the time of the offertory, it would be great to have a record of your visit with us today. Now, inside of your bulletin, I'd like to call your attention to the area past the order of service to the announcements, and just highlight several. First of all, on Saturday, October the 3rd, there will be another service project for our youth, and that is ages 12 and up, and that begins at 8:30 until 12:30, and the students are going to go and help service some of the yards or homes of our members and friends here at Seminole Church. So all the information is there for you. If you'd like to participate, I believe that they'll be meeting here at the church grounds. Is that correct, Andy? Okay, so be meeting here at the church grounds at 8:30, and Danny will give you instructions from there. Now, we're also going to begin a ladies' Bible study this week. That'll be on Tuesday night, and Diane, my wife, will be teaching a new curriculum called How People Change. And this is a marvelous curriculum used by Reform University Fellowship. In fact, my son went through it at the University of Florida, and it's excellent material for Bible study and discipleship. If you can join us, or not me, I won't be there. But if you can join my wife and the other ladies, that'll be this Tuesday night and every Tuesday night from 7:30 until 9 o'clock, and that will be at our home up toward the Northdale area. Also note that the Walden Sunday School class has relocated just a few feet. They moved next door to 102 from from room 100. So please make note of that if you're in the class. Also, the deacons and the remainder of the staff wanted me to say thank you for last week. We had 170 people here, and nothing was left in the pews. Everybody did a great job of moving your hymnals and bulletins and Bibles and that sort of thing out so that St. Paul could worship right behind us. And indeed, they were in here preparing for their worship service as we were exiting the building. So thank you again. Please keep up the good work, and we appreciate your diligent efforts as we continue to share this building with St. Paul congregation. Also, the deacons would like me to thank you for your parking, and everyone's been so good about taking care of the parking situation and making sure that St. Paul has plenty of parking spaces. So keep up the good work. Now, we have a fall fellowship coming up. Many of you remember last year on our own grounds toward the end of October, we had a fellowship time complete with a barbecue and hamburgers and that sort of thing, and that was held on our church grounds last year in October, and we had about 80 people attend. And we're going to do the same this year here at St. Paul, and we've scheduled it for November the 1st. And note that is a Sunday, not a Saturday. November the 1st from 5 until 7:30. In fact, that's the day of the time change, I believe. But we'll have games, we'll have food, we'll have a lot more information about it later on, also a bonfire and maybe a pickup game of wiffle ball like we did last year. But there'll be plenty of opportunities for fellowship and fun consistent with our vision. So mark your calendars now. All Sunday evening activities, youth small groups, adult small groups, that sort of thing will be canceled for that evening. so that we can enjoy the time together on November the 1st. And also save another date, and that is Sunday evening, November 21st, the opportunity for adults and youth to go to Metropolitan Ministries and volunteer. I'm so thrilled about things like this because it helps us to, again, fulfill our vision and get involved in the fabric of the community so that we can serve our Lord Jesus Christ in tangible ways. So be sure to mark that date. Also, be in prayer for Brian and Kathy Armstrong. Many of you know that Brian Armstrong's mother, Lucille Armstrong, passed away this past week. Her funeral was yesterday over in St. Petersburg. So be in prayer for the Armstrongs as they adjust. And also, thank you for the prayers on behalf of my daughter, Carolyn. We thought she had the flu, but she ended up having appendicitis. And that was taken care of on Friday, I believe. I've lost count of the days now. They all seem to run together. But she is at home resting and doing quite well. So again, thank you for your prayers and concerns and calls and emails and that sort of thing. Don't forget that we have fellowship time and Bible study immediately after the worship service. So come and join us. And that will be held immediately behind me in the Snyder Building or the Education Building. I have about 30 minutes of coffee and donuts and time to talk and chat and get to know each other. And then immediately into the Bible study hour. And both classes are listed for you inside of your bulletin in rooms 102 and 108. And folks, as we progress through the service and folks come in, if you wouldn't mind maybe moving a little bit to the outside portion of your pew so that everyone will have an opportunity to be seated and be comfortable as we worship. So just be sensitive to that. Again, not the second, but through the course of the service. So, all right, we're assembled here to worship our great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to give Him His due. So I invite you now to put aside all the other distractions from this past week and the ones that face us this coming week, and let's all rivet our attention upon our great triune God and seek His face in public worship. Let's do that now as we listen to the prelude. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, we gather here this morning not as those who do not have hope, but as those who have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we have a reason to sing and to praise our great God. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 150. You can follow along in your bulletins. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre.
Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute.
Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me now, please, as we glorify God in song by singing hymn number 53, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, with all that is within us, we adore you. You are the King of creation. Therefore, we praise you for your surpassing greatness, for your awesome acts of power. We gather here this morning to praise you with our voices, to praise you with our instruments, and to praise you with all of our being. Would you receive our worship as pleasing in your sight? For we approach you through Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and Lord of lords, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you follow along in your bulletins, our first scripture lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 to 16. The historical context of this passage is that Isaiah is warning the southern kingdom of Israel that they have a false confidence in being delivered from the Assyrians through an alliance that they have actually made with Egypt. And the message is that only God and the sure foundation that he provides for King David's throne is the hope of God's people, and ultimately that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 14, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, 'We have entered into a covenant with death. With the grave we have made an agreement.' When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us, for we have made a lie our refuge and a falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the sovereign Lord says: 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed.'" This is God's word. Well, now we come to a time of confession. I'll lead us in a prayer of confession and provide an opportunity for you to silently confess your sins before the Lord. And then we will recite together the prayer that's printed in your bulletins. So would you pray with me? Father, just like your people of old, when life gets difficult, we too trust in other things to bring us security. We know that all we need to do is trust in you. Yet time and time again, we look to other things. We may look to the approval of others, or to success, pleasure, or knowledge, or control, to bring us the peace that we are looking for. And sadly, these things are nice for a while, but in the end, Father, they do not satisfy. They leave us wanting. And in the end, we have dishonored you. We have hurt others and ourselves trying to get what we want when all we need is you. Father, we ask that you would hear us as we silently confess our sins before you. Father, as we confess our sins before you, just as the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Father, these are good words. And Father, in the same way, we too look to Jesus as the sure and only foundation to our life. Through him and his substitutionary death on the cross, would you forgive us for our sins? And would you please hear us as we pray together the prayer that's printed in our bulletins. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Well, hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and place their trust in Jesus. Galatians 5:1 states, "For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24 to 29, and this is the conclusion to the great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus proclaimed. And it states, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. This is God's word.
Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of holiness and the freedom to gather together as your people corporately to worship. Father, we thank you for beautiful music. We thank you for the Word of God as it is read and taught and preached and sung and played. Father, we thank you for your presence. I'd ask this morning, Lord, as a pastor, as an under-shepherd of Jesus, that you would take our renewed sense of being cleansed, and that, Father, you would multiply our joy and zeal in gratitude for all that Jesus has done for us, laying down his life at Calvary. Father, help us to rejoice, as Peter says, with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. Father, help us to be fortified this hour for the coming week, that we might serve you, we might deal with our sin, that we might be sober-minded in all situations, that we might check ourselves in terms of our thoughts and words and deeds. Father, help us at that point. Father, we pray for our world as you told us to do in the pastoral epistles. We pray for those who lead in high office around the globe and also in our nation. We pray for our president and his cabinet. We pray for men and women who lead in Washington, also in throughout the United States, here in Florida, and also in the city of Tampa. Father, give these individuals wisdom beyond their years. Help them to lead as they ought. Help us, Father, to be good citizens. Help us to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, we pray for our troops abroad, that you would be with them, bring them home safely. We pray for an end of war. Father, we pray that those who stir up dissension and strife globally would be suppressed and subdued. And Father, we pray that you would bring about the greatest peace, sending the Lord Jesus for your church soon. Father, we pray for needs in our own congregation. We think of Brian Armstrong, the loss of his mother. Be with both Brian and Kathy, as well as Becca. Father, we pray for Jack and Jean Glaze. We pray for Connie Frail. We pray for Becky Grooms as she looks forward to the birth of her second child. Father, we also pray for Noah Kohler, his hand surgery on the 24th. Father, be with these precious individuals and saints. Take care of them. Meet all their needs as you define each one. Father, we pray for those who also suffer from cancer. We pray for Martha Thompson and Ken Kinsack. We pray for Charlie Barreto and Milton McKnight, Kurt Winkles, and also Dave Hawes' sister-in-law, Karen. Father, we lift up these precious folk. We pray that whatever stage they're in with this dreaded disease, that, Lord, you'd intervene, that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring comfort, most of all, that you would bring hope as a result of your presence. Father, we also pray for those who are confined and shut in today. We pray for Marion Smith. We pray for Eva McMillan. We pray for Ruth Gallup, Mrs. Mildred Allen, Elizabeth Adams, Mr. Vernon Bryant. We also pray for Servando and Mercedes Fernandez. Father, be with all of these individuals. Wherever they're at, Lord, give them comfort this day. Let them know that they're not alone because you, the sovereign Lord, are present as a result of your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for those who seek employment and suffer from financial difficulties. Father, we pray for our sister in Christ, Elaine Crescent. And we also pray for Amarnath Buddhasing. We pray for Bill Bergen, that, Lord, you would provide all three of these with gainful employment soon. Indeed, Father, we pray for all those who struggle financially, that, Lord, you would give relief to the economic conditions that we face in these times. Father, we pray for our missionaries, for Don and Judy Vanderplug and Dave Hawes and Mark Mayhew. We also pray for Isaiah Antinia, his good work in Haiti. We pray for our presbytery and our denomination. We pray for St. Paul Church, that, Lord, you'd bless her as well. Father, bless our future as we seek to coexist on this campus. Help us, Lord, to become more and more the church that you would have us to be, reaching others for Christ, demonstrating the power of Almighty God, who gave his Son for our sins. Father, do these things, and we'll give you thanks. Now we conclude our prayer with that model prayer that you taught us through the lips of Jesus, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please stand for our offertory hymn, number 455, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
Our offertory statement this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. And the Apostle Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Would you pray with me? Blessed are you, God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Before the foundation of the world, you chose us to be your people. You predestined us in love to be your sons and daughters. You have given us a Redeemer, Christ Jesus our Lord. You have provided for the forgiveness of sins. Thanks to you, we are free. Freely, therefore, we give ourselves to you, as well as our tithes and offerings, to serve the praise of your glory. Through Jesus Christ, the very incarnation of your blessing. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
For the King. Be seated. If you would open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning, as we are in a series of messages through the book of 1 Peter. And this morning we find ourselves in chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Wasn't that beautiful music by the choir and the strings? Just enjoy that so much. Look forward to the future, perhaps, where we might have a concert on Saturday night for the entire community, where we are displayed more and more with the beautiful music that God has blessed us with. So, very, very thankful. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. And if you think about it, I want you to keep in mind also the other scripture readings this morning from Isaiah 28 and also from Matthew 7, as they are connected very well to this passage. Peter says, "As you come to him," meaning the Lord Jesus, "the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God which performs its work in those who believe. I ask now in these moments that we would reflect upon your word and that your spirit would work it into our lives, that we might know you first and foremost and that we might walk with you in obedience. Bless these moments, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. It's funny, I preached this passage about 5 years ago. August 15th, 2004. And the beauty of the Word of God is that every time you approach it, it always has one single meaning, but many applications. And I was reflecting on 5 years of ministry here, and I realized I hadn't even begun to scratch the surface, not only of ministry, but of this passage. What a marvelous passage. This portion of Peter's letter is loaded with truth. and practical application. It is a mouthful. Peter uses extensive Old Testament imagery to demonstrate the fact that New Testament believers, both Jew and Gentile, are in fact the new people of God, the new covenant community, who possess all the blessings of Old Testament Israel, but in far greater measure. It's a rich and meaningful passage. It presents us with several serious challenges that should serve to, as we say in our day, blow our minds. As I've often said, it's never a matter of what to preach. It's a matter of what not to preach when studying God's Word. I had a good friend tell me this past week that he was glad he didn't preach every week so that he might not be grumpy. And I thought to myself, that is true often, because you don't know what to say, what to preach, how to craft the sermon. There's so much truth in these passages that it's hard to capture exactly what the Lord would have you to say. And that's where prayer comes in and worship of God during the week instead of just giving doctrinal information on the weekend. Well, I want to point out three challenges for us as believers this morning. The first one is our understanding of Christ's church as God's new temple. And we see that in verses 4 through 6. Our understanding of Christ's church as God's new temple. What is the church of Jesus Christ? Fundamentally, is it more than a building? Is it more than music? Is it more than sermons? Is it more than study? Well, certainly is no less. We'll study that this morning for a few minutes. The second thing I want to challenge you with is our understanding of God's sovereign character. And I think you'll find that very clearly in verses 7 and 8 as Peter moves through this passage. And then finally, in verses 9 and 10, our understanding of how God views us and how we should view ourselves. How God views us and how we should view ourselves. So if you're following along in your Bible or else in the passage that is printed for you in the order of service, you now have your roadmap through 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10. First of all, our understanding of Christ's church as God's new temple. And Peter is doing this in verses 4 through 6. In the Old Testament, the temple was where the name of God dwelt. And all God's people, if they were in Jerusalem, were told to go to the temple, that gold-covered building that cost millions of dollars to build and make. That's where the name of God dwelt. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon, in his famous dedicatory prayer, prayed that whenever Israelites were in trouble and they weren't in Jerusalem, to look toward the temple and to pray, because that's where the name of God dwelt. Daniel, in chapter 6, we are told, opened his window and faced Jerusalem three times a day to pray toward the temple. It's the very reason why we pray in the name of Jesus, because the name of God no longer dwells in a gold-covered building. It was incarnate, lived amongst us in the name and the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So no wonder Peter begins with verse 4 saying, as you come to him, not to a building, but to the Lord Jesus, and he calls him the living stone. Coming to him is a beautiful word of the Greek New Testament. It's picturesque. What it means, essentially, is to draw near, to get close to. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it means literally to draw near to God, to hear him speak, or to come into his presence. And so Peter says, as you come to him, the living stone. And I want you to notice the relationship between verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, you are being built up. The simultaneous nature of coming and being built up. The sense is as you come to Jesus, initially in conversion, and as you continue coming to him in worship and prayer and diligent study of God's Word, you're being built up. That's why we harp on going to Bible study and having a quiet time or a devotional life. Because when you're converted to Jesus Christ, that's just the beginning. You have to keep coming to Jesus for forgiveness of sins, afresh and anew, and for strength for the upcoming week or for a tragedy or difficulty, whatever hits you at the moment. Peter is about to quote three Old Testament passages concerning the stone. Isaiah 28 in verse 6, and then Psalm 118 in verse 7, and then Isaiah 8 14 in verse 8. And his imagery here must be understood in light of those verses. The fact that Christ is a living stone, see that in verse 4, a living stone, shows at once his superiority to the Old Testament temple, made of dead stones. And it reminds Christians that there can be no longer that old way of approaching God, for this way is far better. You see, a conscientious Jew knew that he had to get to the temple to worship the name of the living God. We in the new covenant realize that we don't have to go to that gold-covered building. We can stop anywhere we are and pray and seek God's face through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we gather together like this, Jew and Gentile. That means foreigner. It doesn't matter where we come from on the face of this planet. We all have something in common, and that is we're sinners, saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He was rejected by men, though in God's sight he was chosen and precious. Jesus, priceless treasure. That's one of the songs that we heard played so beautifully this morning. He goes on to say, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Extends the stone imagery in a remarkable way to Peter's readers, now portraying not only Christ, but also Christians as living stones. We see this in Ephesians chapter 2, where the Bible makes reference of the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone of God's fabulous temple. So what is Peter saying? He's saying, look, this Old Testament image of this rectangular building where sacrifices are offered, where the priests chant, where the Old Testament people of God had to look to pray, must go. And a new image must come. And that is not of stones, of brick and mortar, but stones of human beings, living stones. That's what we are as Christians. And we build our life upon the foundation of the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus. But he also calls us a holy priesthood. As priests, believers offer not the animal sacrifice of the old covenant, but spiritual sacrifices, which the New Testament elsewhere identifies us with the offering of our bodies to God for his service. That's why Romans 12:1, Paul says, I entreat you therefore, brethren, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. God is no longer interested in bulls and goats and calves. He's interested in us. That's why David prayed in Psalm 51 that sacrifices and offerings did not please God, but a sincere and a pure heart. You see, the religion that translates from the old covenant to the new covenant is not one of brick and mortar. It is not one of physical sacrifices necessarily or primarily. It is one of spirituality. Of all of us seeing that we're sinners, that we're saved by the grace of God, and that Jesus is a priceless treasure because through his atonement, our sins have been paid for. Indeed, we are a holy priesthood. That's an interesting word. You know, the Bible presents teachers and preachers and priests. But there is a sense in which there is the priesthood of the believer. That is, all of us, in a sense, are priests. You don't have to go through the pastor or some spiritual person or somebody with an ecclesiastical office to reach God. That's why 1 Timothy says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We only need one mediator. In fact, there's only one fit to be the mediator, and that's the Lord Jesus. So he makes reference to us as living stones and as priests built upon this foundation of the rock or the cornerstone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. Now, Peter encourages Christians to think of themselves as living stones of God's new temple. But what is the appropriate visual image corresponding to this metaphor? That's the thing that got me this week. We might try picturing ourselves as changed and thinking of ourselves not as blocks, not as bricks that are animated, but living stones, being fitted into a shape of a large body, a human body. It's difficult to understand how Christians can be both stones of the temple and priests who offer sacrifices. I don't know how many times I've heard this passage and preached this passage focusing only on the living stones. And that is true. But also, Peter says, you're not only living stones, you're priests unto God. And so what he is trying to do is make it impossible for us to try to picture a building. He is forcing us to see the imagery that the new covenant community, the new people of God, goes way beyond a building, goes way beyond a location. It's right to the human heart. Because you and I are priests unto God as much as we are living stones. It's better to change our visual image of the temple so that we no longer think of a rectangular building but made of stones, but of a building that continually takes on changing dimensions of God's assembled people. The beauty of this new and living temple made of people should no longer be expensive gold and precious jewels primarily, but the imperishable beauty of holiness and faith in Christians' lives, qualities which much more effectively reflect the glory of God. We made a big move as a church. We may move again. We may keep on moving until we figure out the truth that resonates in this passage, that God wants us to be a people who love each other, a people who care about each other, a people who refuse to simply rub shoulders and eat a donut with on Sunday morning and then say goodbye for the remainder of the week. No. A people who cry whenever a loved one dies. A people who are involved when a young person has to make a tough decision. A people who feel financial struggle with another one sitting next to them in the pew who are going through financial struggle. You see, that's the beauty of what Peter is saying. Now you understand perhaps why I read Isaiah chapter 28. What a fitting passage. Did you notice that that rather raw passage is not directed to God's people, but the rulers of God's people, the spiritual leaders in Old Testament Israel? Why? Because they had made a covenant with death. They had made an agreement with the grave. What does that mean? That means they were willing to sit at ease in Zion. That means they were willing to come to the temple and collect a paycheck and not do what they were trained and commissioned by God to do, and that is to equip and build up the body of Christ. You can't do that. The Bible says that one day we ministers will face an awesome judgment. God's going to take a good hard look at what we've done. And if all we cared about was bodies and budgets and buildings, we're in deep weeds. We're supposed to be building up human beings, praying for one another. I don't want to make a covenant with the grave. I don't want to make an agreement with death. I'd like to see a church doing what the New Testament says it ought to be doing, so that people walk into Seminole Church, and not because of the building and not because of all the accoutrements of worship or even the sermon or the music, but they say the Spirit of God is there because the people love each other and they read God's Word. And they care about the needs that are out there. And they want to go and share. May the leadership be challenged. May we as officers be challenged to take a good hard look at our church and realize Jesus Christ laid down his life for this church. Not the building, not the lights or the budget, but the people. May we love one another. I did something I hadn't done a long time the other day. I went to the mall. I had to go to a computer store to get a cord. And I hadn't been in the mall in a long time. In fact, I had to go to the Brandon Mall. That's a big mall. I've never seen so many stores. And I was in a big hurry. It was already 7:30 and the store I was going to closed at 8:30. And I needed to get something very important. And while I was on my way, there was a young lady. standing with a tray that looked like food. And I hadn't eaten all day, no lunch, no dinner, no nothing. So I approached her, thinking I'd get one of these little crackers or pieces of bread on that tray. And she reached out and grabbed what was on that tray and squirted this goop in my hand. Then she proceeded to rub my hand, and she said she wanted to do my nails. And I said, I'm not interested. And she said, oh, no, yes, you are. I mean, this woman was tenacious. Young lady probably in college, I guess. She wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise. I kept trying to go. I can't. And she said, oh, yes, you can. Now, she said, now, tell me about your wife. Is she lazy or busy? And I knew that was a loaded question. And she said, come on, come on. They're either lazy or busy. I said, no, she's productive. That didn't stop her. She kept on going. Finally, she ended up trying to sell me this packet after she did a nail, and I felt very embarrassed for $79.95. And I said, no. And it went down to $49.95. And I said, no. And she said, what about Christmas? And I said, no, I'm here for this. And finally, she offered to give me two of them for $24.95. And I kept on saying no. And she asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a minister, a Presbyterian minister. And I came here for a computer cable. Somehow I got sidetracked. And I imagine she might have thought, why did you stay? And somebody else asked me, why did you stay and spend 10 minutes there? Because she's a person. She's a person. She's made in the image of God. Jesus Christ laid down his life for sinners. And as we as Christians realize the value of human beings in here and out there, we'll pause. We'll even be made a little bit uncomfortable. We may stop running to this and that and the other because of the importance of computer cables and all the other gadgets and gizmos that we have in our life and start paying attention to those around us, both inside and outside of Christ's church. So that when a child has surgery, we all have surgery. When a mom struggles to understand why her child suffers from a debilitating disease, we all struggle. When a man loses his job and he struggles to feed his family, we all struggle. When somebody has severe diabetes and they're praying for a cure, we're all praying. Somebody has a house for sale and they're going under, they need to sell it. We all want to sell and we're all praying for that sale. That's the body of Christ. Because Jesus laid down his life for us. I can't get to the other two points this morning. But may we all reflect, pastor and people alike, are we building our lives on the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus? Is Jesus precious to us or do we simply reject him in our busy run through life to get done what we consider to be so important? Jesus, priceless treasure. May our lives be built upon him as the cornerstone, the capstone. For there's no other foundation that will last in this life except him. May we come to him by faith and trust him. He who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You've come to church, but the real question is, have you come to him? And will you keep on coming all through this week and all through your life through the word and prayer and the means of grace in God's church through his fellowship and his word and prayer? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we're living stones being joined together upon the foundation of the cornerstone, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning that every one of us would trust the Lord Jesus exclusively for salvation, that we would know our sins are forgiven, and that we have righteousness by the grace of God in Jesus Christ alone. Father, for the rest of us, help us to become that church, that mysterious group of people you describe so beautifully in this passage through your man, Peter. Father, help us to love one another, to build each other up, to focus, to listen, to become the church that you would have us to be. Father, save those who are lost. sanctify those who are saved. Through it all, bring honor and glory to your holy name. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is an appropriate one this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than the solid rock, Jesus' blood and righteousness. Number 521. Let's stand together as we sing all the verses. Building your life on the rock. Do that by joining us for Sunday school, studying God's Word this morning after a time of fellowship. God bless you. Have a great week. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.